You're tuned to Mountain Grown Community Radio, KVNF. I'm Gavin Dahl. This week on Local Motion, author Glenn Steckler, a resident of San Miguel County, Colorado, talks about the new book he edited with his father, Larry Steckler, called Stories from the Age of COVID. It features personal stories from dozens of writers with book proceeds benefiting food banks. Stay tuned. My guest on Local Motion this week is Glenn Steckler. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
After learning about it from Telluride Daily Planet editor Justin Criado, I read your book, Stories from the Age of COVID, in one sitting. Let me ask, Glenn, what came first, the idea that you and your father, Larry, wanted to do something to help people facing food insecurity during the pandemic, or the idea to collect COVID stories and publish a book to raise money?
Well, that's a good question. I think that the initial impetus was for my father and I to work on a project together and to have that be something where we can raise money to help people. And then we tried to figure out from our own personal histories in publishing what the best project would be. And we came up with the idea for this book.
Let me ask you more about that. I don't know about your personal histories in publishing.
Well, my father has been in publishing most of his adult life. He was worked for Gernsback Publications in New York. And at one point, he and I put together a short stories magazine that came out bimonthly. And so I guess this is sort of an extension of that experience.
Well, talk about how it felt to read so many good stories and poems as they came in, as you reviewed submissions. Were you surprised what an effective outlet you were giving people to cope with isolation, in some cases hospitalization or the death of a loved one?
Yeah, we're super appreciative of all the authors who decided to contribute to the collection. And exactly that, I think for many of the authors, it was a way for them to express their feelings. It was a help for them mentally and emotionally in a state of isolation to be able to share and to be able to communicate outside of their own home.
Paula Gordon Lepp is a poet. Her piece in Stories from the Age of COVID is called Won't Shop the Same Again. Would you start off by reading Paula's story for us, Glenn?
I'd be happy to. So, Won't Shop the Same Again by Paula Gordon Lepp. She had her arm buried up to her elbow in the markdown items that filled a shopping cart, repurposed as clearance bin, parked beside the discounted bread, bright yellow Yahoo sale stickers, almost glowing under the fluorescent lights, canned goods hidden under a cardboard mountain of granola bars, no doubt put there by an indifferent teen with a haphazard regard for physics. I offered to help. She looked at me with her roomy eyes, her spidery voice muffled through the cloth mask. No, it's okay. You are no doubt busy. I'm just trying to get to this small can of corn way down at the bottom. I told her I didn't mind. Such a small gesture, really. With a little eco-friendly mountaintop removal, I raised away the granola, exposing the cans to her scrutiny. Look, they're only 19 cents. I think I'll get two. She straightened slightly, a small curved study in triumph, one niblet-filled trophy clutched in each hand. She dropped them into her cart and thanked me for my help. I spotted another can and picked it up and asked her if she wanted it as well. She looked at me, a ghost of a smile. Two is probably one more than I need, but who can pass up that deal? Then, I have been cooking for me and my family, and once the kids were grown, for me and my husband, for what seems like forever. We were married 61 years last year. My Benny died of COVID in November. I'm still trying to learn how to cook for one. She cocked her head to one side, piercing me with her eyes, the patina of decades of hard-won wisdom burnishing her words. Never take for granted buying the big can. She turned and shuffled her cart away, and oh, the weight of that one small can so incredibly heavy in my hand.
Won't Shop the Same Again by Paula Gordon Lepp, as read by Glenn Steckler. What I like so much about this one is the compassion, the empathy. It's not something we talk about enough during the pandemic, that many of us feel deeply the suffering of others. One could argue Paula wasn't hurt by COVID. This was just something she heard from a stranger, but it does impact her. And now it's impacting readers of your book. Powerful.
Yeah, I thought so too. Just taking a small sort of mundane chore of being shopping in a grocery store and having that huge impact, feeling someone's loss, even in the smallest of ways.
Your book features another poet named Aaron Robertson. Denning Bears is sweet and simple, and it made me think back to those first few weeks of lockdown. Would you read that one for us next?
Sure. Denning Bears by Aaron Robertson. Tonight we will sleep, each in our own places, the deep slumber of denning bears. So warm in our thick black coats, in our cozy hollows of thick white snow where no wind stirs. We will dream, calm, safe dreams of honey and unguarded hives and salmon that jump into our open mouths, trusting that when winter eases its grasp and it's time to muscle our way out of the drifts, the sun will be there to warm us. The roots will be ready to nourish us, and our ancestors have already made clear paths we can follow to finally drink fresh water and feel the crisp, clean air settling deep into our lungs until all our old stale breaths are wrung right out. Yes, you and I, each in our quiet den, a mountain or more apart, we trust implicitly that there will still be a world worth waking for, and our cubs will be just fine.
That's Glenn Steckler sharing Denning Bears by Aaron Robertson from his book Stories from the Age of COVID, published earlier this year. You're tuned to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Gavin Dahl. Another one that got me thinking about my own feelings was the piece 2 Weeks Living and Running with Coronavirus by Sarah Lavender Smith, originally published by Trail Runner magazine. Her husband, a healthy 53-year-old, found himself lying in a hospital room with oxygen saturation levels dipping dangerously as viral pneumonia attacked his lungs. He wondered if he was about to enter critical care for a ventilator, asking himself, is this where it ends? The way she describes her family story, it's so personal, so relatable. That's part of what works so well about this book. It's accessible and believable. It's so real.
Yeah, every one of these stories is exactly that, a real story, a real observation, and a real experience through COVID. And for someone like Sarah, who is tough as nails. She's a runner, long distance runner, ultra marathoner. And like you say, her husband was a very healthy 52-year-old at the time when he got COVID. It goes to show how pervasive and how dangerous this disease has been. And it really is that personal experience that I think for any of us speaks to our own experiences during that time and our own fears.
Another thing that's interesting reading the writing you've collected now, as much as a year after when some of these stories happened, is certain quotes, certain lines that have more weight as Colorado struggles with another wave of coronavirus infections, the Delta variant, and crisis standards of care. At a key moment in the story, Sarah Lavender Smith's husband Morgan is telling their children, with an oxygen tank hooked to his nose with thin tubes, quote, "The good news is the hospital's not crowded. And if I need a ventilator, they've got one." Well, this past summer, as more and more people got vaccinated, it started to seem like many things could be headed back toward normal. But of course, now it's not guaranteed that a COVID patient can get a bed at a hospital here in Western Colorado. Isn't that interesting, Glenn, how some of these stories go over with readers kind of varies depending on when you read this book?
Well, that's right. Yeah. We thought we were coming into a better place, which this book remains very relevant, somewhat unfortunately, to our current conditions. And it also goes to show the need that food banks are going to continue to have and families are going to continue to have going forward, because we're not out of this yet. And we do hope that we are going to be able to continue to donate to the food banks moving through it forward through this book.
Can I ask, how has that gone so far in your ability to, you know, deliver on your goal with your father of using this book as a means of donating to food banks?
Yeah, so my father and I have been splitting the proceeds from the sales of this book. He's been donating half of the profits in Virginia Beach, Virginia, to his local food bank. And then I have been donating half here in San Miguel County to Angel Baskets and the local organizations here. And so far, our sales have been pretty good. We'd like to do more, but we've donated close to $1,000 so far this year. And we are still actively promoting and marketing the book and trying to continue to donate going forward.
You can learn more about Telluride Food Pantry at tellurideFoodPantry.org and Telluride Angel Baskets at TellurideAngelBaskets.org. You're tuned to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Gavin Dahl. My guest is Glenn Steckler, whose book with his father Larry is Stories from the Age of COVID. It's over 200 pages composed of anecdotes, musings, observations, and personal experiences shared by a wide variety of writers and non-writers. I read the entire thing in a single sitting, and I'm pleased for this chance to discuss it with you, Glenn. Thanks again for joining me. You do have contributions from some very pro writers in the book, including familiar names. One of those is Rosemary Wattola Traumer, a poet and word woman from Southwest Colorado. Would you share her piece, The Most Important Thing?
Okay, I have that right here. And yes, Rosemary is such a great poet, very well accomplished, and has been writing a poem every day for years. Really an amazing woman. The Most Important Thing, Communicating in the Time of Coronavirus, by Rosemary Wattola Traumer. Just 2 weeks ago, it was sufficient to say hello, good morning, goodbye. But now in every text, every email, every phone call, I tell my friends and family how much I love them. I tell them life is better because they are in it. I say it with the urgency of a woman who knows she could die, who knows this communication could be our last. I slip bouquets into my voice. I weave love songs into the spaces between words. I infuse every letter, every comma, with prayers. Sometimes it makes me cry, not out of fear, but because the love is so strong. How humbling to feel it undiluted, shining like rocks in the desert after a rain, to know love is the most important thing, to remember this as I keep on living.
I love that. You have several pieces from Rosemary in the book. What a good get. Did you know her before the project began? You mentioned that she's been writing a poem a day. Like, you'd heard of her?
Yes, absolutely. And she's almost a neighbor here of mine in San Miguel County. And she was instrumental in putting the book together, in that she was able to contact her group of poets and her network of poets, and was able to help us solicit a lot of material from some really great writers throughout Colorado.
In terms of the press that this book has gotten so far, I've listened to at least one interview I think you guys did with a station in Texas, and she joined you for that one. Have you been able to leverage some of the talent in the book to get more attention to this effort?
We have had some exposure. We did do a public radio interview in Houston, Texas, as well as local write-ups in the newspapers here in San Miguel County and also in Virginia Beach. There has been some interest from the my alma mater, St. Lawrence University. They've helped get word out to the alumni. And we continue to look for other ways to put word out. Some of it has been word of mouth. I know some of the authors have gone out and tried to communicate in their communities about the book, and that is always welcome and a huge help.
The book we're talking about is Stories from the Age of COVID, compiled and edited by Glenn Steckler and Larry Steckler. It's available at Between the Covers in Telluride. It's on Amazon. And Glenn, can people reach you directly?
You know, that would be great. I'd be happy to give you my email address. And I'd like to mention that anyone out there who wants to show me proof of a donation to their local food bank, $20, $25, somewhere in that range or more, I am happy to send a book to them at our cost, absolutely free of charge. So my best contact would be Glenn Steckler at hotmail.com. That is GlennSteckler at hotmail.com. And show me proof of a donation, and we would be more than happy to send you a free copy of the book.
Another familiar name, to me at least, is Telluride Daily Planet editor Justin Criado, who has a few pieces in the book. Death and Doom at DIA really struck me. It's dark and also funny, and it's nice to laugh at least a few times in this book. Somewhere along I-70, he imagined himself drifting in and out of consciousness, this airport being his dying vision. Once inside, he explained, this airport seemed off kilter. He couldn't find a living person to ask where to go. Wandering aimlessly, wearing noise-canceling headphones, he asked the lady overseeing the conveyor belt if any airport establishments were open and was told simply McDonald's. He realized he would have to navigate the post-mortem labyrinth stone sober. At the top of an escalator, he found, quote, Ronald McDonald was getting his ass handed to him as a gaggle of fellow near-dead travelers piled into four socially distanced lines and a small herd waited off to the side for their orders. Justin was unsuccessful in his attempt to procure alcohol for his sweet tea. Talk about, you know, levity as one of the other ingredients in your book.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It's not all doom and gloom here in this book. There's actually quite a bit of joy and humor and love between people. And I think we all found a few silver linings from the last couple of years. And Justin is a great example of that. He brings humor into his life, I think, no matter where he goes and what challenges he faces, he seems to at least find a way to laugh about it, which I think is pretty important for all of us.
Well, and he's had a role in spreading the word about your book. He was the one who reached out to me first and said, you know, hey, KVNF should talk to these guys. So I'm thankful for that. And of course, thankful for the great work that he's doing with the Telluride Daily Planet. Suzanne Chevins is associate editor of the Telluride Daily Planet. One of the first pieces in the book is called My Father. And this one interested me not only because she's writing about her late father, and this is a book distributed, you know, compiled and distributed by a father and son team. And so thinking about that person who isn't still with their father and thinking about what he would think about this, kind of in that prism of this being a father-son project or, you know, a parent and child project, but also because it seems like you might have hesitated to include somewhat political works in the book, given the good nature you and your father brought to the project. But let's talk more about it after you read it. Would you read My Father by Suzanne Chevins, please?
Sure. My Father by Suzanne Chevins. My father, were he alive today, would have no patience for the altered state of myth-swilling and shuttered minds, for the feces-flinging mobs armed with Old Glory, that proud symbol, now flecked with spittle, used as a cudgel. The fetid air reeks of hatred for any face that deviates from their own pale, fat moons. Horned fanaticism, ignored factualism, fall into the chasm, never to be heard from again. My father speaks to me now. He dove into science as if it would save his life, and it did. Now I say for him, your ignorance on matters of our struggling planet and unchecked virulence will be the death of all of us. Your puny pistol cannot stand down, voracious fires, flooded lungs. You will drown in your own refusal of the hot, hard truth. My father would have given up on our species by now. Perhaps he deigned to lift his voice, to make another appeal for reason, but lack of reason is madness, and it is madness that drives the gabbling rabble. You've lost the script, my father might say. You think it's about rights, but you're wrong. Watch the bellwether species, not your false idols, for what comes next. I hope the hour of our demise is not upon us. Perhaps it's already arrived. My father can be spared of our ugly, unholy deeds. He dances amongst the stars, the only true freedom.
That one hits so hard, but it feels resonant to read these more potent pieces, you know, the political, the personal, the emotional kind of wrapped into one. Was that something that you and your father debated at all, including things that might, you know, alienate some readers if they were of a particular political persuasion?
You know, that's a difficult question in that, of course, the goal of the book, or one of the goals of the book, was obviously to maximize the amount of money we could raise for the food banks. So, of course, we don't want to turn anybody off. But at the same time, some of the most powerful writing that we received was pieces such as Suzanne's. And she doesn't pull any punches. And that's what makes her writing powerful. So it's hard to refuse to include something like that when I think it does create or elicit some emotion. And you don't have to agree with everything in the book, obviously, but the fact that it might make you think or might get a reaction, I think, is as important as anything else.
Before we go, I'm just going to ask you to share one more. Joan Shapiro is a Colorado author. Would you share Unmasked for us, Glenn?
Sure. Unmasked by Joan Shapiro. How strange to wear a mask in public, as if we waltzed at the Renaissance ball, or perhaps not so odd in the age of the virus. Instead, consider how selfish nowadays to be unmasked in a public place, or to be bound up in a perversion of anything resembling rational thought, or to justify endangering others without a modicum of introspection, as if stupidity could be made sane by some peculiar notion of freedom. The inalienable right to murder by contagion hasn't yet been enshrined in the Constitution. When many people drink the Kool-Aid and join a violent political cult, I suspect these people may not be able to engage in constructive colloquy. When someone carries a tiki torch or a firearm or a Confederate flag and angrily participates in a chanting mob and snarls that he thinks that I, being Jewish, am secretly plotting to rule the world, it is very unlikely that he and I will join the verses of Kumbaya. Long ago, when I was misguided, I thought it was my mission to fix the world and have enlightening discussions with bigots. I thought I could change their point of view. As I've gotten older, I have learned that the world can fix itself or not, because it is not my job to fix you. It is above my pay grade, it is beyond my job description, and it is because I am not Superwoman. Not even close. When I see you in the grocery parking lot, note your crass disregard for those who are sick, and I'm treated to your insolent, maskless face. When I witness your obvious scorn for survivors, altered by terrible after effects. When I think of the doctors, nurses, employees, all of whom suffer from PTSD, and all those whose features will be forever and always obscured by death. And I watch you as you disrespect the heartache of loved ones who have been left. To me, giving up on you is my right. You must fix yourself if you'd ever be free. You have been enslaved by a hideous master whose words advocate scorched earth and disaster. When we face off in the parking lot and I look at your lifeless eyes as you pass and note your sneer from behind my mask, I say, what an ass.
That's San Miguel County resident Glenn Steckler reading the piece Unmasked by Joan Shapiro. His new book, compiled and edited together with his father, Larry Steckler, is called Stories from the Age of COVID. The book's available at Between the Covers and Telluride. It's on Amazon, and you can reach Glenn directly by emailing glennsteckler@hotmail.com. All proceeds from the book benefit area food banks, and Glenn says if you send him proof of your own food bank donation locally of at least $25, Glenn will send you a copy of his book directly. Is that right, Glenn?
That is correct. Yeah, be happy to do it. You know, I think that it's more important than ever to be able to donate to the food banks and to those families that have food insecurity. From what I've researched and read, that food insecurity doubled during the pandemic. And again, we're not out of this yet. And I've had firsthand experience with this, going out and delivering gifts and food during the holidays. And when you see people in need locally, especially in somewhat wealthier communities, it really hits home how much that this help is needed. So on top of having people enjoy the book, which I'm sure they will, knowing that buying this book is going to go towards such a great cause, I really hope that that will motivate people to give the book a try.
Thanks again for joining me, and thanks again for your work with your dad on this lovely book.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
This is Local Motion on KVNF. All our archives are on the web at kvnf.org. Stay tuned.